Happy Friday. Good morning. Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Thanks again to Michelle Hobb and John Bauman for coming in, talking about Meadowlark Hills, talking about the Parkinson's program. Do want to remind folks, if you want to hear John Bauman speak tonight, that is a free event. He'll be the keynote speaker. He'll be at the Holiday Inn at the campus here in Manhattan. And it was great to hear from him. He had a lot of great words.
And I was listening to him on the way over. Hi, by the way.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
I'm great.
By the way, I was listening. Why'd you put that? Too young to what you were talking about? To remember something? Too young. And I listened. I'm thinking to myself, too young. Hmm. Too young.
Although this happens a lot.
Yeah.
Although not as much.
What are you, like 12?
No.
Oh,
no,
come on.
I'm 30. Well, I mean, in some ways, thank you, I guess.
Director Schoen, I deal with this every day.
This is more a function, I think, of my advancing age than his actual age. And the way I've got it figured in a couple of years, he'll probably look like he's 10.
I hope so.
You got shape.
Yeah. I'll be 33 in November.
Oh, well, all right. About the same age as my son.
Yeah. We're getting up there. We're getting up there. But I know off air you're talking to me that you have a personal connection.
I do. In fact, I was listening on the way over with rapt attention because my father passed away in May of this year as a result of complications from Parkinson's. He, I think I'd mentioned, he lost control of his airway, would aspirate food, got pneumonia, and eventually that got him. And, I was talking with the doctors off and on after we learned that he had Parkinson's. By the way, it was the worst kept secret in the small town he grew up in. Everybody knew it, but Dad was, he's an old farmer and, they just don't worry about that stuff. So it's a tough thing to deal with. But at the same time, I thought his message of embrace it and, get on with life and enjoy what you got. Well, that was kind of what my dad did. So it's one of those things where you talk with the doctors and they'll tell you, it's not the Parkinson's that gets you, it's the complications. Right. And that's what happened with my father. It was a sad day. But it's something, with a little time under your belt, each day gets better. It kind of sneaks up on you once in a while, and still get emotional over it once in a while. But it's pretty much when it sneaks up and blindsides you now, it's always the little things, when you lose a loved one. And to lose them to something as insidious as Parkinson's can be is a difficult thing. But I was glad to hear he's here to kind of carry a message of hope to people and to families and to friends of people who have Parkinson's.
It is amazing when you think about this disease, and a lot of when you think about it, it's like you probably do know somebody. If you don't have a personal family connection, you definitely do. And already just today, now I got two more. So.
Yeah. It's out there. Yeah.
Here with Riley County Police Department Director Brad Schoen, doing to remind folks that phone lines are open as they always are on In Focus. Get a chance to talk to Dave Lewis on the other side of the glass to start your morning off. 785-537-1350 is the number to call, and let's go ahead and talk about some things with the RCPD law board meeting earlier this week. And I know one of the big things that came out of that was and definitely something that's been talked about a lot, definitely on our Facebook post to our story earlier this week, is the purchase of the Bearcat vehicle.
Yeah. Lenco Bearcat, manufactured by Lenco. Right, yeah. And here's the deal. I figured that we'd get a lot of mileage out of that, or actually inappropriate, I guess. You'd get a lot of mileage out of that. The media in general would get a lot of mileage out of that. Because we went into that knowing it was going to generate some discussions, and recognizing ahead of time that, people's experiences vary and whether they think it's necessary or not. But here's the real deal. It was important that we have a public discussion about it, because the last thing I want to do is sneak up on somebody with something. The next thing you know, they see this thing rolling down the street and they start asking, and nobody knew about it, nobody talked about it, nobody got a chance to voice their opinions on it, that sort of thing. So I can't say that I'm surprised by some of the people who question whether we need it or not, because I think in the main a lot of people don't know some of the things that go on. They don't know how it's financed. They don't know, where the money came from in the seizure fund. They might know that there is such a thing as asset forfeiture seizure, but maybe they don't have a very good impression of it, or maybe their impression is generated by virtue of things that happen to have been reported on elsewhere as opposed to locally. So there's just a whole lot going on when it comes to the decision to acquire this thing. And it wasn't just a snap decision. It's something that's taken me a number of years, frankly, to get to. So, but we talked about it a lot.
When was the early origins of this as far as like when you decided that maybe this is something we should look into?
Well, as I told the law board, you know, this is something that people inside the PD have been lobbying for probably at least a couple, 3 years now. And I've said no on every occasion up till now. And in fact, they didn't come to me this time because I think they figured it just wasn't going to happen. But this was a decision I came to absent any lobbying this time. But it's been a couple, 3 years in the making. And I think, you know, what led to it, at least in my mind, is a series of incidents over about the last 5 years. We've had three separate occasions where people have fired shots at the police. The first of those, and you'll probably remember these, though, you know, people who've been around here and are kind of, to a certain extent, newsies will probably remember these incidents. But there's a lot of people who don't fall in that category. And so I think that's why some people may be saying, really? What do we need one here for in Manhattan, Kansas?
And being a transient community, yeah, a lot of new people all
people
the time.
People coming, people going. You know, about... About 5 years ago, we had an incident out at a motel on the east side of town where there was a guy standing in the parking lot cranking off rounds. And the cops show up and basically end up hiding behind their cars while this guy's firing rounds. Sometimes they can hear the rounds passing overhead. And the officers didn't really do, it's not they didn't really do anything, but they didn't respond in like kind, translate as they didn't shoot back at him, until he started firing at the hotel windows. And don't ask me what people think when they do these things, because if I know there's a guy in the parking lot shooting, the last thing I'm going to do is go stand by a window and look outside to see what's going on. But people were doing that, and he was firing towards the hotel, so the officers responded. He ended up getting hit in the ankle. We don't know whether we got him or one of his rounds ricocheted, because he was always shooting, also shooting into the ground. But in any case, we managed to take him into custody with no further injuries. But the cops were basically reduced to hiding behind their cars when he shot their direction. I don't know how well readers are aware of these things, but it's rather disconcerting to be hiding behind sheet metal when somebody's cranking around your direction. It's not like TV where, you know, you open the car door and get out and you can hide behind your car door while people shoot into
it. That's always the image
of
TV.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. And we had another incident not too long after that, a couple of years, year and a half, I can't remember exactly, out by Zinedale. There was an individual out there armed with a gun who had threatened his family to the extent that they fled the house and called us. And when we got there, on this occasion, we were able to get a hold of Junction City, and they have a vehicle like this. They brought it over. We were able to use that. And the guy ended up cranking around through the front door and hitting the vehicle the cops were in. We eventually managed to take him into custody with no injuries. And then I think probably the most notable incident occurred very recently in January of this year. Probably almost anybody, you don't even have to be a newsie probably to know that we had an officer shot when responding to a domestic call. Now, this particular vehicle wouldn't have done anything to stop that from happening. But after he was just shot, he retreated and took cover. And the question was, how can we get him? You know, we didn't know where he'd gone initially. What if he'd gone behind his car, which is out in the street in front of the house, to seek cover? How would we get to him if this guy's still cranking off rounds out the front of the house, which he was? We had nothing to go get him with, yet we had a guy who was shot and injured. And I can tell you, it doesn't take very many of those incidents, and it takes precisely one, for you as the director of the police department, wondering as you're driving up to that place whether this guy's going to bleed out and die before you can get there. And what are you going to say to his family? We didn't have the right vehicle to go get him. And in addition, there were other rounds being fired for quite some amount of time, and we managed to get the Junction City vehicle over here. And it took considerable damage from the individual shooting at it. That case is still pending, so I can't talk a whole lot about it. But suffice it to say, I said to myself that day, all right, this is crazy. We've got to get something to provide some ballistic protection to the guys who get paid to respond to these calls. I mean, firemen have trucks. I don't know how much those trucks cost, but I'm going to say they're probably pretty comparable, maybe a little more expensive than what we're paying for this. Why do they have those trucks? So they can go to fire and put the fire out. We go to calls like this where people are shooting, and oftentimes, well, three times in the last 5 years, shooting at the cops. We got to have something that helps us put the fire out. So that's kind of how I viewed this. But I thought then we need to do this, but I didn't want to make an emotional decision about it because, let's be honest, while it was traumatic enough for me, it was 3 weeks before I could talk about that, not getting emotional over Pat and, you know, having been shot and the other guys being shot at. More so for them, they were there. They were the ones under fire. But I didn't want to make an emotional decision. So I waited a few months, and here we are now, and decided, you know what, it's been a long time. I'm past the emotion of the incident itself. Now I've got left is the facts of the incident to make a decision on. So I can make a decision absent emotion in the best interest of the police department and the community about what I think we need to do here. And I was still in the same place. We need to do this. So then the question was, how do we pull it off from a financial perspective? So, and we can talk a little bit about that here in a minute. It looks like maybe you have a call.
We do. We'll take this phone call and then we'll answer the phone call and then we'll go to a break. But go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Oh, good morning. Two-part question. You bring up a good point. How could you have a vehicle there? Questionable. If you're somebody in North County and or South County or Zinedale area and you have the same situation, most of the time it doesn't last that long. So I don't understand why we would need a vehicle for that. It's a pretty expensive vehicle. I realize you're going to get it with some funds that you confiscated. But anyway, that could maybe be used for maybe some more vests or better handguns. The other question is, other than the investigation or the background check or whatever you call it about the $750,000 lawsuit because we were requiring, quotas on DUIs, is there any other investigation going on at the Rider County Police Department at this time or background checks?
Okay, let's deal with the first of those. That's the vehicle. The vehicle itself was... to a certain extent, the caller's right. When you need one of those things, you need it right now. But the assertion that, well, you know, so you don't need to get it because it won't be there right now, I think is kind of off base. While it's true, let's take the most recent example, the one where our supervisor was shot. It's true that it wouldn't have done anything to prevent that injury because, you know, you have to make contact with people, and he was, you know, up by the front door when that happened. But it is the case that it would have been available sooner to help evacuate people, in this particular instance, the officer who was shot, or others who were trapped in their homes. And we were able, actually, to get the vehicle over here from Junction City, although it took, I'm going to say it was 40 minutes to an hour to get that vehicle in place. It was useful. And the same held true of the incident out by Zinedale. And, in fact, I can't recall because it's the oldest of the incidents, why it was we couldn't get the vehicle over here from Junction City in the hotel incident, but that incident went on for at least a goodly amount of time, and if we had had that vehicle available locally, it would have been useful to resolve that incident as well. So while the initial, I guess, flurry of activity in these sorts of incidents where people start shooting the cops, we don't necessarily expect to have it there then. In all three of those occasions that we're looking at, the incident actually ran on for a good bit of time before it was resolved, and in two of those three incidents, we were able to get the vehicle here. With respect to the lawsuit issue that's out there, we talked about this a little last month, other than saying that we have never and do not require quotas, I'm not at liberty to talk about that a whole lot because we just don't discuss pending legal matters over the air. We, you know, deal with that in court and let the attorneys deal with it. But I'm comfortable with where we are on that. It's just going to take a while to pan out and to resolve. So,
all right.
That anyway, worked. There you go.
Yep, let's go to a break. We'll come back and talk more RCPD with Director Brad Schoen. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.
ESB Financial, member FDIC, equal housing lender, has